We are going to go back to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Let's start from the verse 1.
Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few.
Okay. Now here we read, St. Paul comes to Thessalonica. And when he came here, the word of God says, he went to synagogue and started preaching and teaching for 3 weeks continuously. And what he was doing, he was telling the people, the listener, giving the proof that Jesus Christ is the only one, real Messiah and the Savior. And starts showing them from the word of God. And the word of God says, many people got saved, great multitude, and the chief women, not a few. That means many. Great multitude of the Greek people, very devoted people to God, they are Gentiles, but they're searching about Jesus. They're searching about God. And those kind of people were listening Paul's preaching. And I was surprised that Paul went to synagogue and he went continuously 3 weeks and he's teaching and the Gentiles coming to synagogue. Nowadays, we see very few people who do not believe in Jesus Christ go to church. Why in those days all those Jewish people bringing Gentiles to the synagogue? Because they have seen the God's work and mighty works in those days also. And the Jewish people, I don't know, they were witnessing or they just came to listen to Paul. Wherever Paul went, the Gentiles were there listening. And here many people think that Paul is against ladies and he doesn't like women. But here we see multitude of great Greek people and the chief women, that's not ordinary ladies, they came to listen to Paul. And the word of God says many people got saved. Verse 5.
But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus.
Okay, now hear what happened. When these people got saved and came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, there is always somebody doesn't believe in Jesus or troublemakers. Some Jewish people did not like even the Gentiles coming to the synagogue, listening about Jesus Christ. So what these people did, the word of God says, they envy, they jealous. They were having jealousy. Why these people coming to Christianity? And I thought those people are coming to listen to the Jewish religion. But actually the word of God says they came to listen about Jesus Christ. And when they came to Jesus Christ, these Jewish people got envy, got jealous. And what did they do? The word of God says they went to the street finding worthless people. Nobody cares about them, like a mob and the bad people, they got hold of them. They said, come and help us because we want to do something against this Paul and Silas because they are preaching about Jesus Christ. They gather all these people and drag these people to the city. Maybe court. And the word of God said they were living, there is a name, the name is given, Jason, and they were living in his house. Who? Paul and Silas. And so when these people, the Jewish people, who are not the believers, who are troublemakers, went to Jason's house, dragged these people to the court. But so happened, I don't know how, God inspired Silas and Paul to get away from this house before they could arrest them. This is maybe God's doing. And when they drag Jason to the court and start saying, you know what these people are doing? These people are teaching against our king. They're talking about Paul and Silas. And they're saying, this Paul and Silas, these people are came to our town. These people are not ordinary people. These people did the whole world upside down. Can you imagine? That's the title Paul and Silas get. These people are turning world upside down. That means they are powerful people. They can change the world upside down. And they were preaching about Jesus Christ. In short, they are trying to say, they are going to turn your kingdom upside down, or your kingdom will be gone. And the Jewish king, they are talking about, who is that king? Read the verse 7. It says, that king is the Jesus.
Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus.
This is what they were complaining. So this thing, when they start talking to these government officers and other people, they thought, this is not a good idea. So what happened? Verse 8.
And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things.
Okay, when they heard this, these things means what? The things about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, these people are preaching, Paul and Silas, they want Jesus Christ to be king. Jesus was not even there. Jesus Christ already went to heaven. But these people are so troubled that they are talking about some kind of spiritual kingdom and Jesus' kingdom. So they want these people to get out of the town, and they start making trouble. Verse 9.
And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go.
Okay. What did they do? They say security of Jason. What does it mean? In that means they get hold of Jason and said, sir, we want to know this Paul and Silas, what they're doing in your house. Why are you keeping them? So we want to make sure these people should not be preaching in this town again. And so they put him in a jail, and some believers might have come and bail the Jason out. What does it mean? You know, maybe give some money to the government and say, this will not happen again. Let these people go. And then they'll let the Jason go. Verse 10.
And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so.
Okay, now what happened to Paul and Silas? Went to another city called Berea. And the word of God says, always, like they do, Paul and Silas went to the synagogue and start preaching to the Jewish people. And the verse 11, it says, these people were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Now, these people, noble people, maybe highly educated, very honorable people, educated people, somehow these Berean people are much more better than the people of Thessalonica. And why the word of God is saying that, read the verse 11 one more time.
These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so.
That makes people noble and a great people. Why? Because they heard the word of God and they searched the word of God and they were eager to hear the word of God. Word of God makes you wise, makes you great in the sight of God, because the word of God gives us life. So these people heard the word, and not only hearing the word, what they were doing? They might be bringing the notebooks, they might be bringing the pen with them, and each and every scripture Paul was saying from the Old Testament, they were writing it down, and they go home and search the scripture, what Paul is saying is right or wrong. And when they go home and search the scriptures, the scriptures will start talking to them and they will be excited to go and listen more. That gives us idea that when we listen to the word of God, we should not be listening this way and go another way. Many people go to church and they come home. What did they learn? They don't know. Sometimes pastor will have a topic. One topic, and they only know that topic. And this morning I was listening. I'm not criticizing, but I was listening to one person. He just reads some kind of story after story after story after story. And I could not find one Bible scripture in his preaching. So what happens when you hear all of these things and you do not understand a word? But the Paul was not telling stories. He was talking about Jesus Christ. And he was talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he was telling the other people that Jesus is the only Savior and there is none. And so when he gives the proof from the word of God, the people would go home and read the prophecies and the prophecy fulfilled about Jesus Christ. And this is what's happening, and people were growing spiritually because of the word of God. Verse 12.
Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people.
Can you imagine? Now here the word of God is saying, when they were preaching and people were taking notes and listening and finding out the words, not only men, but the ladies. They were all together. In Thessalonica happened the same way, and Berea happened the same way. The ladies and gentlemen coming together, listening to the word of God and growing, and the news went back to Thessalonica. Those days there were no telephone system, no cars or any other ways to go and tell these people what's happening in Berea. But somehow the news went to Thessalonica. And who came there? The troublemakers. The people who did not like Paul. They didn't care. We chased him out from our town. Even the government people got enrolled. Now they're in Berea. Why we have to worry about them? Let them do what they want to do. But some people are troublemakers. You see some people in America and everywhere. If they don't like certain things, they go to one city. If some preacher or president is going to that town, they go before him and start making noises and shouting. If he goes to another place, they will go after him. So some people are dedicated their life to troublemake and go and harass other people. And that's the group of people. They have nothing to do. They hire some people. You see some of the people, they are hired to do the trouble. So here, people came from Thessalonica, and now they came to Berea. The word of God is progressing. People are listening. People are taking note. People are growing. But these people coming to harass the children of God. So let's read the word of God, verse 14.
And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed.
Okay, now what happened? These people, I'm talking about the believers, they came to know in Thessalonica, those people said, we don't want Paul and Silas in our town. And they let them go to Berea. Now the people coming from Thessalonica to trouble these people in Berea. So now the believer learned the lesson. We do not want Paul and Silas to be arrested. So they said, okay, Paul, get out of here. Go soon. And such a way they put not going on the land, no, go and travel by sea. So people will not come and trouble you. So the Paul left by sea, and some people came to take Paul, maybe security guards or some Christian believers say, we will come with you, we will take care of you, we do not want you to be in any trouble. So they came, and as soon as Paul lands there, he said, you know, I want Timothy and Silas also with me. So could you please go and get those people? And as soon as these people came back and gave the message to Timothy and Silas, these people didn't say, well, let Paul do his work. Wherever Paul goes, he makes the trouble. And then we get into trouble. We don't want to go. Word of God says, as soon as they heard it, that Paul needs us, they went speedily. They did not wait for a minute. Right away, they went to help Paul. So what I'm trying to say, unitedly, when you work, there is a power and strength. Paul felt lonely, alone. He wanted somebody to help him. And some preachers in America, in some other words, some people cannot preach if somebody doesn't say amen or hallelujah or give them support. They feel something is missing. So most of the time say, are you with me? Can somebody say amen? Can somebody say hallelujah? What happens? That gives the preacher some boosts. So we are with you. We are agree what you say. And the preacher gets excited. I'm not saying that's the only reason Paul wanted Silas and Timothy coming to say hallelujah and praise the Lord. But he wanted them to help him in the ministry. So the people went right away to the Paul and they joined together with him. Verse 16.
Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him.
Okay. Now here we see when Paul came to this place and he saw all these idols in Athens. And they were very famous for the idol worship. When he started walking around the city, what he saw? All kinds of idols. When Paul started walking around, he got disturbed. What he was thinking? Why these people worshiping the dead God, which doesn't have life? They made this God from themselves and they are selling, doing business. Not only that, they are worshiping this God. So he got that burden. So he went to synagogue and start telling the other people, because Jewish people not supposed to worship the idols. And so I don't know some of the Jewish people were doing or Gentiles were doing. So he goes to the temple, means synagogue, and start arguing or teaching other Jewish people and Gentiles. Why this happening in this town? Why cannot we go out and tell somebody these idols are not real? And so he was burdened with this and he went to synagogue and telling these people, this should not happen in our town or this town. We should be telling people about Jesus Christ or about God. Now we walk around on the city, see people are in drugs, people doing alcohol, some of them are prostitutes, Some of them are doing all kinds of things. And what we do, we just turn around. We do not want to face, we don't want to tell them. But if you are really born again child of God, we will not be turning our face. We will be talking to them. We will be telling them about Jesus Christ. We will be telling them, if you have problems, come to Jesus Christ. Any person you see, and that person is miserable, it is our duty to tell that person. Other day, I saw one man. Other day means long time ago. I saw the man on the street. And when I saw him, looking at him, he looked depressed. So I went close to him and I said, "Sir, you look depressed." He said, "How do you know?" I said, "I feel in my spirit you're depressed." He said, "I am depressed." I said, "Come to church." And he came to church. If I didn't pay attention to that man, he will be depressed for his life. Somebody might be on the street and do not know what to do. And when you find that person, talk to him or her. Some may be prostitute and do not know what to do. We have to tell these people there is a better way. Somebody might be doing idol worship. And you say, let him do whatever he is doing. We don't have to bother him. We don't have to tell anything about that person because it is his freedom. That is not a Christianity. We have to tell the people the truth. The word of God said what? He shall know the truth. Truth shall set you free. If you're not telling somebody, how they will know? Book of Romans chapter 10, if you read, it says, how can they hear without the preacher? Somebody has to tell them what you're doing is wrong. So the Paul not only was going and talking to people on the street, but he went to synagogue and said, it's your responsibility. You should be going and telling. And that's why he felt, if I had the Silas and if I had the Timothy with me, we will be together doing great things. Because Timothy is not afraid of anybody. Silas is not afraid of anybody. We three people can do more. That's why he sent the word. And Paul and Silas did not wait for a minute. Right away, speedily, they came. Okay, verse 18.
Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? Others some, he seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.
Now see what happens. When Paul starts talking to these people and telling about the real God, telling about Jesus Christ and his resurrection power, so people did not like it. So they got some lawyers maybe, some philosopher maybe, and some highly educated in their religion, and start telling, okay, you come and talk to Paul. And when they start telling, they did not give Paul a respect. But they start saying, this man, a babbler, means he doesn't know even the language properly. He doesn't even talk properly. And why this man is telling this thing about Jesus Christ and his resurrection? That's why the word of God says, Paul said to him, Corinthians and other letters, I am not an excellent preacher. I do not have much vocabulary. But what he has, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. That's the way sometimes I feel. Because I'm in America and I'm not an English professor. Sometimes in talking, I might make mistakes in English. But I tell the people, do not look at my grammar or my English. Look at what I represent. I tell you about Jesus Christ. I have experience with Jesus Christ. So the Paul, they were putting him down. You don't know the language. But Paul was not an ordinary man. He had almost PhD degree in those days. Those days they were not giving degree, but he was sitting in the feet of Gamaliel, is a very good professor, and I'm talking about Paul, he had the knowledge of the Jewish law and things like that. So he was not ordinary person. He might have a doctorate degree in religion. But now the people are making fun of him, and he's saying, you don't know how to talk. You're just like an ordinary person. And we don't want to hear about Jesus and resurrection. Let's read the verse 19.
And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.
Okay, now, when these people got a more intelligent people, that's like a group of counselors and things like that, they say, we want to hear Paul. And they start saying, I want to hear what you're talking about this new God. Because they did not know anything about the living God. And they knew only idols. Someone says, if you worship the idol, you will be like idol. What does it mean? Idol doesn't have a brain. Idol cannot walk. Idol cannot talk. Idol cannot do anything. If somebody sit in one place, do not talk, do not do anything, do not use your hands or feet, and sit there for 10 years, I guarantee you, you will be not able to walk, you will not able to talk, you will not able to do anything because your hands and feet will be stuck to one place. One man was putting his foot up like this for 18 years. What happened? After 18 years, he could not straighten out his leg. All these muscles will be shrink. Same if you don't talk. Now, for example, I'll give an example. Just think that your mother tongue is English. And now you go to the foreign land for 20, 30, 40 years. And you do not use your mother tongue and you learn other language. What happened? You almost forget your language. You cannot talk your own language. That's happened to us sometimes. When you go to another country, and then after a while, you do not understand your own language. Why? No practice. You're not listening. You're not learning. You're not studying it. So the same way the Word of God says, if you sit with that idol, you will be like idol. So idol doesn't have any brain. So here the Word of God is saying, these people, all these doctors and philosophers coming and talking to Paul and telling him, we want to know what you're teaching. We want to know your strange doctrine. This is new to us. We never heard about this God. What are you talking about? So the Paul says, okay, you people are so religious. And Paul starts thinking, how these people are hungry and thirsty for God, and nobody is telling them. Okay, let's go to verse 24.
God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things.
Okay, now Paul is trying to say, listen, I went to your town, looking for everywhere idols, idols, idols. Not only that, I saw one headline somewhere. We are worshiping unknown God. So he's saying, you are worshiping unknown God. That means you don't know who God is. You go and tell some people in their house, I'm talking about India if you go. And in their house, each and every house, they have some kind of idol. And you talk to that person, could you give me the history about this idol? What is this idol all about? You're worshipping that idol. Could you tell me why you're worshipping and how you got this God and how you put it in your closet? They may not have answers. But why are they doing it? Because their forefather did it and they're doing it. They do not know why they're doing it. So it is our duty to tell, just like St. Paul says, you are worshiping unknown gods. But he is saying, God does not live in handmade temple. What kind of temple you are going to make it for God? And the same Paul is not in here, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16 he says, please read.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
Now, he is saying, don't you know that you are the temple of God? But you are looking somewhere, God, and making the temple for God, and putting a God there. Can you imagine you go to India, and there are gods made of the gold, and precious silver and gold, and people come to worship, and when they go home, what they do? They have to put the security guard to watch their gods. Somebody will come and steal their god. You don't have to watch over your god. God's supposed to watching over you, right? But we go, keep the guards there, and keep the guards there, so somebody will steal my god. So he is trying to say, God doesn't live in this. Let's read this verse 24 one more time. Book of Acts chapter 17, verse 24 and 25.
God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation.
Okay, now these people never heard these things, that what Paul was saying. He is saying, you are worshipping the God you don't know, but let me tell you, this God of mine, what I'm trying to tell you, this God doesn't need anything from you. Because what happens in another religion, they go to temple to worship the Lord, and they bring sugar, they bring coconut, they bring flowers, all of these things they bring it. And some of the people are very poor. They don't have milk for their babies. And they're taking the milk and pouring in the sea. And one day I was sitting there, and that man poured the milk in the sea. And I said, why are you doing this? He said, because I want God to be blessed. I said, sir, this sea is a salty sea. And if you put a gallon or 10-gallon milk, it's not going to get sweeter. It's not going to get better. But your children might be suffering without a milk. You get this milk and pour it to the sea. Why don't you give it to your own children? What I'm trying to say, these people, they give everything to God, not knowingly that God doesn't need these things. They have the idol, and they will make the food and put it in front of the idol, and the idol doesn't even eat. So here the word of God is saying, God doesn't need man's worship by their hands going and doing something to God. So he said, God does not live in this temple, and God doesn't need this kind of worship. And then another thing he was saying, verse 26, he says, God made all people from one blood, means everyone has the same blood. You are not different than me. We are all one, created by God. If you go and search in another religion, they do not know how God created mankind. They have different theories. But the only Bible tells you the history about mankind and the creation of the heaven and earth and the mankind. So he is saying how God created man, how God created the heaven, and how God put the boundaries to even see. Jesus Christ controls everything, the word of God says in book of Colossians. So he was saying, this is what God has done. And you see the sea, you see the tree, you see the planets. sun, moon, and stars, and you worship them because you do not understand the theory behind it. But he says, God is the one, and he has appointed all these boundaries, and everything what you see, created by God. In short, what he's trying to say, why are you worshiping the creation? Worship the Creator. Verse 27.
That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring.
Okay, what he's trying to say, he says, if you want to search God, you do not make the God with your imagination. There is a God who has created heavens and earth. How can you find him? He says, find him just like a blind man start looking for things. You know, sometimes we see with our own eyes and then we know where the things are. But the blind people see differently. What the blind people do? They start looking things, finding things. So the same way you should have that kind of eager, I have to feel, I have to find where the God is. And the word of God says, if you seek, you will find. You have to seek God from your own heart. Then God is not so far from you. If you seeking God, God will make some ways to appear to you. Take the example of Cornelius. He didn't know who God was. But he was praying day and night. And God says, your prayers are answered. Call Peter and he will tell you more about God. Peter comes, tells him, and he heard the word of God. God saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what God does. If somebody doesn't know anything and you don't know how to tell that person, what you do? Call pastor. Call somebody who knows the Bible. And they will explain to somebody, because we do not want anyone to go to hell. We want people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he's saying in verse 28, he said, don't you know, didn't you hear? We are all offspring of God. That means we came from God. God has created us. We were in the heart of God. We were in the mind of God. And God has created us. So we are born again people called what? Children of God. We came out of God because we were in the mind of God, in the heart of God. Okay, verse 29.
For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device.
He's saying, if you think that we came out of God and we are his children, then how come you making the idols of silver and gold and stone? Any silver and gold stone does not produce children. You keep the stone there, that will be stone for a million years. It will not produce any other children or anything from that stone. But he said, our God is alive, and we are the children of God. And but you are making the idols and worshipping idols which doesn't have life. Verse 30.
And in times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
Okay, he's saying up to now, he's talking to those people in Athens. Up to now, you people worship the idols and didn't know, you were ignorant. And God allowed you to do these things. But now God is telling you to repent. Sometimes people will say, oh, my forefather did it. My grandfather did it. My great-grandfather did it. So I do not want to change my religion. I want to do what my grandparents taught me. Even though it doesn't make sense to me, but I want to do it. So what he's trying to say? He's saying, if you come to know the truth, then you have to repent what you did. Is not good. If somebody doesn't know what he is doing, you know how long that person will be doing? Until somebody tells him. If somebody tells him you're going wrong way, and then make sure that he is really, really understood, he is going wrong way. And then that person will turn around. Just think that somebody wants to go to City Hall and he start going north. And then person said, I'll go to the north and I'll find the City Hall. Then you have to tell that person, sir, City Hall is not north, you have to go south. And convince that person, then that person will say, you're right. Then what he has to do? Turn around. Repent means turn around. Turn around from what? Man has gone away from God, and when you're going away from God, God says repent means come to me. Turn around. Come to the living God. That's what real repentance is. Okay, verse 31.
Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead.
Amen. So he says, you know, if you don't listen, and if you want to go your way, the day is appointed by God. Even the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27, it says, it is appointed. For what? Once to die, after that judgment. You tell somebody about the plan of salvation. And if that person doesn't want to hear, finally you have to say, sir, I told you the truth. If you don't want to hear, the God is going to judge you one day. And whatever I told you, God is going to say, why did you reject the plan I gave it to you? So he says, Jesus Christ is the only one who can raise you from the dead. Jesus Christ is the only has the power of resurrection. So each and every religion in this world do not know who is Jesus, and they do not know the power of resurrection. What the word of God is saying, we have to tell these people, whatever you preaching heard today, one day if you go astray, God is going to judge you. We do not want to go astray, but we want to be resurrected. If the person will die in sin, he will go to hell. But if you die in Jesus Christ, we have great hope. We are going to go to heaven. And that's the message to the world. People are dying without God and without Christ. If I have the eternal life and I'm living a life of Christ on this earth, I would tell the people I was miserable just like you. I had no peace. I was sick and afflicted. But now I'm living a victorious life. When I tell somebody, I say, listen, since 1956 until today, I am preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I never thought in my life, why did I left my home and left my job and followed Jesus Christ? I never thought one minute I made a foolish mistake. Each and every day, I enjoy what I'm doing and I'm telling others. Because he has given me the everlasting life. And he has given me his grace and the message of resurrection. So we should be telling everyone, when you die and you are buried, what is your future? What will happen to your soul? Many people do not know. So the Saint Paul says, let me tell you, once you die, there is only way. Go to hell or heaven. And when Jesus Christ comes, he will resurrect you from that grave and will take you to heaven for eternity. That is the plan of salvation. So Saint Paul is saying, listen to me, don't get judgment, don't get into problem. One day if you reject the salvation plan, you have to face the eternity in hell. Let's finish this last couple of verses.
And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Albeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysus the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them.
Okay, so many people rejected, but some people believed.